Welcome to Destiny Revival Ministries Sermon of the Week. Thank you for joining us. You can stay up to date through our social media or give from the link in the details. We hope this message blesses you.
How many of you were here last week, Sunday, just really quickly? I think that's most of you. I started something called Dream Thieves. I want to continue with that this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go back and just read one more portion of Scripture again, and then we'll get right into it. Dream thieves. Come on, how many of you understand the enemy is after your destiny? And obviously the way that we position what the Lord is saying concerning this is we have the victory of Jesus Christ. However, like I said earlier in this service, that we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. How many of you know the Bible says that he comes like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? All right. Some people may give him permission and some may not. But he comes like a roaring lion. He's got a big bark, but trust me, he's got no teeth. He's been defeated, which means he also has no paws or legs. Come on, hallelujah, if some of you will get that, all right? Which means he's also got no teeth. You know, he will appear to have teeth in front of you, but he has no power over you other than when he is facing you, that you will buckle in fear and allow him to bring defeat on you. Are you with me? So we ought to not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And I think one of the biggest places, I like to say this before we get into Genesis chapter 16, for those of you that were wondering which chapter I was talking about, Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. I believe with all of my heart that the assignment for your life is the number one thing that the enemy is after, period, period. And no matter how the enemy has to get at you in order to try to take you out, that's what his modus operandi is. That is what he wants to do. And so he wants to pervert that destiny all the way from the time that you come out of your mother's womb. Some people have lived in fatherlessness. Some people have lived with no mothers. Some people have faced abuse. Some people have had all sorts of things that life has thrown at them. And I would like to highlight the fact that that has been every bit of the agenda of the enemy to take you out, to remove you from God's perfect plan for your life, because he has a plan for every one of you. Now, that what that plan might look like, you know, contrary to popular belief, and I want to say this, we are all, say this with me, we are all ministers. Okay, so we're all ministers. That's a given. And what do you mean I'm a minister? I'm not a pastor preaching. I'm not a prophet. I don't see myself holding crusades to thousands of people. I don't see myself going to the far-flung corners of the earth, tracking on in vehicles that, you know, that create pathways into remote places for days and days until I can reach a village where nobody has ever heard the name of Jesus. I don't see myself doing all of that. Well, that's okay, because not everybody is called to do that. However, we are all ministers of reconciliation. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that you shall receive power. Somebody say power. Power. The word power there is dunamis. Dunamis. I mean, another translation or another interpretation of that word dunamis is dynamite. You have received dynamite power when the Holy Spirit came upon you. And the Bible continues to say, and you shall be witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, guess what? Some of you are not in the uttermost parts of the earth, but you have a workplace, you have an everyday environment, you have family, you have friends, you get to meet people in the shopping stores, in the parking lot, no matter what. That to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts, whatever whatever that looks like to you, you all have a Judea, a Samaria at an uttermost parts of the earth. And our job in that is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit that we're listening to out of obedience. And when he says, do this, do it. That's it. You know, that some people go, well, I don't know if I'm cut out for all of that. Just listen, the Holy Spirit is never going to put on you what he doesn't think you can handle. Oh, come on, somebody. I'll say that one more time. The Holy Spirit's never going to put on you what he doesn't think you can handle. But if you'll be faithful when he does speak to you, then he's going to bring the increase. So in other words, if you're in Walmart and the Lord says, hey, there's a lady with a beautiful green shirt with flowers on it, go and pray for her. Of course, there's a lady here with beautiful, I'm just joking, I'm picking on you. Good to see you, by the way. But you, as you obey the Lord and you go and pray for them, the most supernatural thing can happen for them, amen? And the more you obey the voice of God, God can begin to do these things. It's the unraveling. I'm trying to say that everybody is a minister of the gospel. Now, when it comes to the destiny of God, that might not be a destiny that says you're going to be an apostle or a prophet or a teacher, but nevertheless, God has a destiny for your life in the earth that he created for you before you were even in your mother's womb. Are you with me? So, I'll just behave myself right now. I'll just hold back. But the point of the matter is that you have an amazing destiny, each and every one of you in the room. Amen. And the bottom line of this is, as I continue here, is one destiny is not more important than the other. So God doesn't look at me and go, hey, man, you have a great accent. And people will maybe sometimes like to listen to you, and just because you have an accent, never mind what I have to say, it's just the accent that they're listening to. The point of the matter is, God doesn't give me preferential treatment for what I'm doing, what God's called me to do. God's got an assignment for you to do. Are you with me? And when we are standing before him, the account that we have to give is for the things that God called you to. Were you faithful to those things? Amen. So I could be winning millions of people to Jesus right now, but be disobeying him in some areas. Maybe some people are called, I don't know, to do the most smallest insignificant thing in the eyes of men, but yet that's God's called you and you're obeying him. Great will be your reward. One is not going to get a greater reward than the other. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Yes. Hallelujah. In God's economy, it works differently. Amen. In the kingdom, in kingdom understanding, it works differently. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, God is good.
God is good.
All right. So we all have a destiny. I just wanted to settle that with you. He didn't bring you into this world and go, oops, I made a mistake. I don't know what we're going to do with this person. No, I'm serious. He didn't do that. In fact, you know, we need to begin to understand, as simple as that sounds, we have to begin to connect our faith with that. Because if we can grasp a hold of the fact that God has a destiny for my life, that he wanted for me from the foundation of the earth, before time began, I was in him and I'm just a manifestation of him in the earth according to a master plan that he has for me. If he's got a plan for my life, if I can just get that understanding, then everything that contradicts what God's purpose is for your life should allow faith to come and to say, all right, I might not, my circumstances in my life right now might not represent exactly what God has for my life, because the dream thief has bound you. The dream thief has lied to you so much that the walls of confusion, that there have been veils placed over your eyes, that this teaching or what I'm talking about will begin to awaken the spirit man on the inside of you, that your eyes, that it would be like eye self, the anointing would begin to melt every bit of wax of blindness. blindness that may be sealing your eyes from seeing, because the word of God declares, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and plans to give you a hope and a future. Those are the declarations of heaven of God towards you and me. So I've got to begin to see what God sees about me. Hallelujah. Evidently, God knew that there was something that I could do that I'm not seeing myself capable good. Because that's going to make you depend on Him. Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So that's the other key to unlocking this thing called destiny for your life. You're going to need the help of God. God wants you to co-labor with Him. Why? So that Jesus might be lifted up.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Somebody. Praise God. I got real quiet here for a second because some people go, oh, what's he going to do next? Hallelujah. Just trying to let things, Selah. So I'm just slowing down my pace this morning. Sometimes I'm just really high energy. And that's okay when the Spirit of the Lord comes on me in that fashion. We want to do only what God tells us to do. I'm taking my time this morning so that we can not only spiritually understand, because that takes spiritual discernment. When the Bible, when Jesus says to them that have ears, let them hear. But I'm telling you at the same token, by principle of what Jesus was trying to say, it's the same thing as me saying to them that have eyes, let them see. In fact, we have many examples in the Old Covenant of God opening up the eyes of the servants of the prophet. The prophet said, open up his eyes that he may see. And when he did, he saw chariots. And he immediately understood that there were more for him than what was surrounding him. And then faith came. And I pray this morning that faith comes, that you will see that in like manner that there are more for you than are against you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we're trying to address whatever could be causing theft of destiny in your life. And obviously there's two major ones that I'm wanting to tackle here and not get into much detail because it's pretty self-explanatory, but those two things are delay and disappointments. How many of you ever had some, what you feel like is a delay? How many of you ever feel like you've made some decisions that ended up producing extreme disappointment in your life?
Amen.
All right. I know I have. I know I have. I mean, I can just share some experiences with you on some disappointments and things like that. One of the greatest things that I can share, and I'm going somewhere here this morning because I really feel the unction to function, meaning there's an overflow and the words are just flowing like a river from my mouth, is that, you know, was probably after 2010, and I've shared this experience with you, that I was praying in the Holy Ghost, interceding. April was not at the house. We at that particular time, we only had Oliver. I think they were out. I'm not sure where they were at the time. But I was in the house by myself praying, and all of a sudden, I began to weep uncontrollably. And it was not an ordinary kind of weeping. It was a groaning, like a travail would be a better word. To travail. Paul used the word travail. He said, you know, I travail. He used the word travail as in a pregnant woman. Paul, the word travail is like someone who is birthing something, a travail. He said, I travail that Christ might be formed in you. Anyway, neither here nor there, but that was the word. And I was praying deeply to where it concerned my mind. And never in any of my time in my walk with the Lord was I more understanding the clear distinction and separation of spirit, soul, and body. Because my mind was completely disconnected with the travail coming from my spirit. And my mind was asking questions on what was happening in my spirit. And it was so clear. There was such a separation that my own head said, go to your bedroom, go into the bathroom, then from the bathroom, go into the closet, shut the door, grab a towel, put it on your face, because if people hear you next door, they're going to call the cops. They're going to call the popo. Because something going on in there. Are you with me? And so I remember going into the room, putting this towel on my face and groaning. And it was the funniest thing because I said, now, Lord, what is this? I said, what is this? And the Holy Spirit answered me in a powerful statement. And he said, I'm removing. He said, I'm removing the pain of the future out of you in advance. And I thought to myself, dadgum, that's amazing. And obviously, like, I'm composed right now, but usually when I get to sharing this, I mean, I will tear up right away. How many of you realize when you have an encounter of God that's so real with you, you begin to talk about it, it wrecks your world. There's some that I still can't talk about because I can't get through it. I've tried. But the point of the matter is that God came and did something so deep within me because all of the trials. Now, how many of you realize we all have to face some things? Now, for me, the Holy Spirit came and did the most supernatural work on the inside of me because the dream thief was there to take me out. And in my time of prayer and intercession and travailing in the Spirit, God did something enough so that when I would step into those moments of the dream thief coming to destroy me, God's grace would be sufficient to carry me through. Did God do that for me? Because maybe I did not have what it would take to go all the way. Maybe he didn't do that for you because you have a little bit more grace than that. I don't know. I can't give you the answer. This is not cookie cutter. But I do know that we face some crazy things that by normal standards, I mean, I would rather have been working somewhere in some remote little country in a little cave, minding my own business, always loving the Lord. You know, just love the Lord, minding my own business. We'll just go to a church and serve in whatever way that we can. But I don't want to have anything to do with the ministry. Come on. But the dream thief was after God's destiny. But his grace is always sufficient. Somebody say that. God's grace is always sufficient. So no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're facing right now, God's grace is sufficient for you because of his plan and in his timetable and his calendar, it's good enough for you. It's part of his purpose. And where you are right now, you cannot submit to the contrary spirit. And you have to say, God, your grace is sufficient for me. And you are going to carry me through this pain, this delay, and this disappointment. Somebody say this, God's grace is even there when I make mistakes. Come on. God's grace is there for you even if you make mistakes. sometimes disappointments and delays is because of choices that have not necessarily been the wisdom of God. How many of you ever done something that wasn't necessarily the Lord's leading? Or you felt like it was the Lord's leading, but maybe it was the Lord's leading, but you went out of season. Come on. And I usually like to say this, you know, we quote a lot of time, you know, the scripture where, about Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I want to throw this in here for free because it's wisdom. The Bible says, I mean, Saul did a little bit more than what was required of him that the prophet had said, the Lord said to do. And when the prophet came back, he did a little bit more because he thought he'd help God out a little bit. And the prophet said, and he even tried to say, why did you do? The prophet said to him, why did you even do this? And he says, well, no, I did. No, you didn't. And today the kingdom has been removed from you. Amen. And then he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. So the nugget I want to throw here for us as a body of believers is this, is many times we weep with human emotion, which Jesus was moved with compassion, and we have human emotion. Remember, by mere virtue of having emotions means it was given to you by God, who is the author of emotion. So church is not a place where we look like we're, you know, death warmed up or that we can't laugh and have joy. No, this should be the greatest place where you get to smile, where you get to shout hallelujah, where you get to shout amen. And if you're so overwhelmed with the goodness of God that it begins to break out of you with joy unspeakable and full of glory, be my guest. If you're so overwhelmed by the presence of God that you begin to weep uncontrollably, not tears of depression, tears of joy. How many of you, I weep most of the time more than I laugh, but it's tears of joy. Because I'm overwhelmed by his goodness, then so be it. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to get at is many times we go before God and we are frustrated in our walk with the Lord, and it's got to do with disappointment and delay. We go before God and we begin to bring out our laundry list to the Lord, and we begin to tell him, God, I've done this for you and I've done that. We've done this and we've done that, and we bring everything that we've done, and God sits in the heavens with compassion in his heart, and his answer in love is, but I never asked you to do that. I never asked you to do that. And we come to him with that so that it would move him to say, God, do something. And he's going, but I can't because I never initiated it. And that's where I'm saying God's grace is there for your mistakes. And it is there is because if we will take a step back and say, God, I humble myself before you. Maybe I've made my mistakes. And so sometimes this disappointment also is not only from the thief, but it also is self-imposed. And God is not obliged to bless what he didn't initiate. Oh, I'll say that one more time. God is not obliged to bless what he didn't initiate. And somebody goes, well, how can you be doing all these things like you're saying? And then God say, well, and it's all good, King. Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't matter how good what you're doing is. Did God tell you to do it? Is he the one that asked you to do it? Because when he asks you to do it, there will be a grace. There will be a power. There will be a dunamis. That doesn't mean you're not going to face opposition. It means that through the opposition, the power will be there to carry you through it. But God doesn't bless what he doesn't initiate, because if he did, he will keep you in the cycle of doing what you've always done. Oh, I'll say that one more time. If God blessed you on the things that he never initiated in your life, then he will keep you in the cycle of doing what you've always done. And then you don't know why you're blessed and you figure it's all about what you're doing. And then you continue to do the same old, and you end up with more and more and more and more disappointment, which the enemy comes as the dream thief to try and take you out and say, just quit, 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 quit. See, it's never working. It's never working. Stop, stop, stop. Is this helping anybody here today? I'm here to help you. I really want to help you today. I really want to help you. I read this chapter from Genesis chapter 16 all the way about, and because of time right now and where I want to go, in Genesis chapter 12, it's all about Abraham and Hagar and Sarah and Abraham getting impatient. Abram getting impatient because God came to him and said, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It's in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. And so he's trying to help God make the plan of God come to pass. So him and his wife, they collude. They say, hey, Hagar is over here. Maybe that's God's answer. And guess what? Out of that, we have Ishmael. How many of you realize that when you do things in your strength, sometimes you can have some major consequences? God loves you, but you have to ride the consequences out sometimes. All right, but then when you realize them, it's just about acknowledging, saying, Lord, I missed the mark here. Help me by your grace to come out of this. And then God will do what it takes to get you out of that, take you like a train, put you on the right train track again, and boom, just give yourself a little bit of time, get the momentum going in those wheels, and then you start in the right direction again. That's the goodness of God. But anyway, his impatience hurt his marriage, this is Abram, and produced two nations that are at war even today. One act of the flesh. One act of the flesh. One act of no God's initiation in it. Abram tried to help God fulfill the promise. God wasn't asking Abram to help him. He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he was saying, I'm going to do this. So we know the story is he waits for both of them to be in a position to where they could never have a child. And then they have a child and his name's Ishmael. The second attempt was God doing it through Abraham this time, not Abram helping God out. Are you with me? Now, I'm not here trying to bring you into a position of fear of should I, shouldn't I, should I. And you know, I think that the majority of us finding ourselves in the place of making these mistakes is not being securely rooted in who you are in Christ, not being fully equipped and in your understanding of who you are as a new creation in Christ. Amen. Come on. We want to conquer the world, but we can't get out of bed. Come on. So you've got to get to know your identity in God so that when disappointment comes or delay comes, you know, sometimes delay is just a lot of the time delay in your life for something that's delayed. Sometimes it's just because we just have to be patient. When Abraham lacked patience, he produced Ishmael. And then in due time, whether his patience was working for him or not, or whether he still had no patience, it still couldn't produce for him. And that's when God said, okay, great. You're in a position where you know that everything that I'm about, the miracle I'm about to perform for you cannot be done by the strength of your hand. Amen. I don't necessarily always believe it's by God's design that he positions us in a place where he goes, well, now that you can do nothing. Now, sometimes we've got to get to that place. God's been speaking to us all along. He's saying, look, there's an easy way or there's a hard way. Which way do you want to use? And we take the hard way, and God says, okay, if it's going to take the hard way, then maybe you have to go to the place where you can do it so that I can do it to teach you. And he's not like, he's not inflicting pain on you, but he says, he takes all things and works it out together for our good. God never put us through that. We put ourselves through it, but in his goodness and grace, he takes us out. I can't believe God did. No, he didn't do it to you. Don't make God what he isn't. Most of the time when we say, why did God do this to me? He didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself and you're not taking responsibility for it. How can God let me go through all this pain? Some of the pain that we go through is because some of the choices that we've made. But we've got to be able to have a cold shower of reality on the subject so that God can be the one who takes us out to end the pain. He's not sitting there going, how much pain can I allow upon my child? It's not in his nature and character. Amen? Oh, come on. Is somebody getting help this morning? Hallelujah. I'm using Abram, the kingdom of God was taken away from him. That's the obedience is better than sacrifice thing. Amen? Yes, amen. So Abram becomes impatient. He listened to poor counsel, and we ended up with two nations at war. Saul became impatient under the pressure of conflict was people were starting to get agitated, and he moved based on what was happening with the people. And then guess what? His impatience cost him his leadership. Because what happened afterwards, the Lord sent the prophet to anoint somebody else to be king. And we know who that was, David. And by the way, while we're on this note, Saul was never even supposed to be the king to begin with. God gave Saul to the children of Israel to be king because they wanted a king so badly. He said, okay, fine, you want a king, have a king. David was his choice. Amen? Oh, come on, somebody. So impatience is the inability to wait until God says we are ready. Amen. Amen. Come on, man. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I've got 10 fingers staring at myself right now. I've got lots of fingers. My toes are pointing at me. My fingers are pointing at me because you are dealing with somebody. Listen, I'll tell you now, I will say by the grace of God, and I say this under the spirit of humility, if I say, may say so myself. But when I was younger, I'm telling you right now, I mean, there was nothing I said no to. I mean, I was after it. I mean, I went, sometimes I bumped my head. I said, oh, that felt painful, but hey, let's go again. And I did that, you know, it's kind of like the story of the hog that goes to drink water down by the river. And there's a person or a monkey in the tree. The monkey grabs a brick and the hog goes down to the water, drinks water. The monkey drops a brick on the hog's head and the hog runs away. Whatever noise the hog makes, he starts running away. And then the next day, the hog's thirsty, goes back down to the river. The monkey goes, great, I'm going to go back up into the tree and throw a brick on his head. And he throws a brick on his head. And by the third time, the hog realizes he ain't coming back because to him, he's made a formula that says water, brick, pain. Water, brick, pain. So I ain't drinking no more water because every time I go drink water, I get a brick thrown on my head. I ain't doing it no more. And sometimes hogs are smarter than us. Come on. So I know, I mean, I've been king of impatience. Now I've gone over to the fact where I'm so slow to making decisions. Like some people ask me things and I'm like, yeah, we're going to do that. And I make announcements. I'm like, okay, Lord, help me here. And then the voice of reason, the voice of wisdom comes and okay, all right, we're going to do this. All right, timing. Okay, Lord, okay, learning to set when is the right time. Because when the right time comes, everything just connects. It all falls into place. And again, every time we're doing something that the Lord has graced us to do, it doesn't mean we don't face opposition, but there is an anointing and a strength and a joy in it. Amen. Meaning it doesn't wear you out. Because the grace carries you. The grace of God carries you. Amen? Peter, 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due time. Apostle Jane and Tom, how many of you were blessed by their ministry here while they were here? We were so, so blessed. We were just thankful for that relationship with them. And we've been in touch with them since then. We've been talking. Some great things in store for the future, which I'm saying now, and in due time, they will materialize. Amen. Do I want them now? Yes. But I've got to go with the season of God. Amen. So actually, due time is the word that she used was she spoke a little bit about chronos time and kairos. The word due time in the kairos time of God, which is a set time or a time that God has appointed. Amen? Sometimes we've just got to be patient and wait for the appointed time. Somebody say appointed time. Don't allow the dream thief or your flesh. How many of you realize that your flesh is also a dream thief? How is that possible? It's very possible because the flesh never wants to pay the price for anything. That's why the Bible says the flesh is in enmity with the spirit. The flesh is in enmity with the spirit. So your flesh is a dream thief. And your soul's in the middle of it. We're talking about this on Thursday night briefly, but I'll bring it up here. I mean, not that it was part of the teaching. We had a conversation with three of us up in the front. We're having this conversation, but your soul's in the middle, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, your spirit, and then your body, your flesh, and then you've got your soul, and the soul, the flesh is trying to govern your soul, and you war with your soul to go with what makes it feel good, and then you've got the spirit, and we know that the spirit sometimes means I know the right thing to do, but we find every excuse under the sun, but yet we somehow lean over to what's more comfortable. Come on, somebody, please help me here. It's the truth. So I'm here to tell you all day long today that the enemy is number one in wanting to deviate your course. No, hands down. Amen. And the enemy is only capable of doing that at your own choices. You make a decision to yield to the flesh, which gives a foothold to the enemy. Come on, somebody. So you disarm the power of the enemy by saying, not so, this is not who I am in Christ. I am a new creation. That's how God communicates. That's the new identity on the inside. And when I begin to live from that place, I give less power to the flesh, and the less power I give to the flesh, the less the enemy can come and hinder me and take me out of my assignment and pull me out of my grace. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you right now, I'm getting blessed this morning. Amen. And we're doing great on time too. This is very anointed today. Come on. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. It's one of the areas, one of the most, and I'll throw, this is neither here nor there, but it's all intertwined, but I'm going to throw it out here for free. One of the most dangerous things the prophetic ministry carries. What? One of the greatest dangers of the prophetic is that can turn out to be pathetic in the realm of the prophetic is an unseasoned voice speaking things over people that they are not ready for yet. I've seen that be a wrecking ball in so many people's lives when they receive a word that is a true word, but it is not a word that they are ready for yet. They don't have the character, they don't have the integrity to be able to carry out that word, and then all of a sudden pride comes in and they think they're all that in a bag of chips. And it totally takes them out of God's assignment. Oh, come on, somebody. That's there's wisdom in the prophetic. A true word out of season can take you out. A true word out of season can delay if you're not ready to hear it yet. Come on, this is a mature word here today. This is a word that will give you longevity in the ministry. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. God knows where you are. Come on, God knows where we are. It doesn't matter if you're in Potiphar's house. And hey, Potiphar's house wasn't too shabby for Joseph. I mean, he was doing great until she threw herself onto him. And what a good man. He turned her down and ran for the hills. Run, Forrest, run. He ran, and then she gaslit him. She said, he came on to me. Uh-uh. No, I didn't. But anyway, she had more influence, then he was thrown into the pit. Joseph could have said, I'm going to get out of this pit. I'm going to dig a hole under the ground. Bless God. I'm going to dig a tunnel. I'm going to make a tunnel. We're going to get through. We're going to go through the borders. I'm going over to the other side. You know what I mean? He could have done that. I mean, he could have resisted. He was in the pit until, guess what? A demand for the anointing that he carried was placed upon his life. The demand came, the season and the perfect timing of the Lord came, and he didn't allow the disappointment or the delay to come and mess him up. He was exalted in due time. Guess what? That means that even in the most perfect, credible will of the Lord, guess what? We go through testing and we go through fire. Oh, let me just make this clear. It's not God burning you on every side, but you will go through the fire and there will be some suffering and there will be some persecution, but it's how you let the word of God establish in you keep you until the day of the due season when the anointing of what you carry, there is a demand for it and you are there to say yes to the call and your due season, and then God takes you from the prison and he puts you into the palace. He hasn't forgotten about the dream. Joseph must have felt abandoned. He must have felt disappointed. He must have felt, what's going on? God, you said my brothers would be all bowing down to me. Stupid move to go and tell them the dream. Hey, Dad, I had this dream. Wait a minute. Let's get all my brothers here together. Gets all the brothers together. And he says, hey, y'all are going to be bowing down. Kiss the ring. They had thought to themselves, "Who does this? That's the religious devil. Who does he think he is?" The same demonic spirit that put Jesus on a cross. What do you think they did him? They didn't crucify him, but they pretty much left him for dead. They threw him out. They didn't know. They left him in their mind. He was gone, dead. They sold him. They're like, well, he's as good as dead. Same demon, spirit. But in due season, I will exalt you. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But the beautiful part is that God will keep you, and he will keep you, and he will sustain you, and he will carry you through, because even that place of complete submission to him, he will keep you and cause you to have the endurance. That grace will flow. Amen? Praise God. God has exactly the right timing for doors to open and for promotion to come. Amen. You don't have to self-promote. God will promote you. God will promote you. Say this, promotion comes from Jesus. Hallelujah. Self-promotion comes from my own strength. The promotion that God brings is he finds you in the prison where you have nothing left to offer and say, right, I can do something with you. That's what Paul was able to say, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. In other words, it wasn't that yes, he was physically weak, but there was also a revelation of, listen, in my weakness, in my revelation of me getting out of the equation, his strength is made perfect. The less this is about me and the more it's about him, the more his power gets to flow. That's why he said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ now that lives in me. If he was always putting Jesus at the forefront, the grace of God could operate the way it was designed to. Amen? Hallelujah. So we need faith and patience. Somebody say faith and patience. Faith and patience. Come on, I'll just read this last scripture. I've got more here, but be not slothful. Hebrews 6:12. Be not slothful, but follow as them of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience. Through faith and patience. So we're going through stuff where patience and faith is developed. Amen? But when we do, we will, not maybe, we will inherit the promises. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we give Jesus a shout of praise? Mm. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing to be able to stand resting in the bosom of Jesus, where all the weight of it all is on him. And you rest in that. Let me tell you, I relinquish every bit of whatever I can do, my control, the arm of the flesh, my strength, I relinquish all of that to say, God, without you, I cannot do any of it. Without you, I can't do it. It's a much better place to do it. So that I've got to fully trust him. Jesus, you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank you, Lord, that you are surrounding us for your purpose with the people that are there to lay the bricks so that the building can be established, so that the name of Jesus can be glorified in a region without compromising on your power, without compromising on your glory, without compromising on your word. And letting the Spirit of God move where the dead are raised, the blind eyes are open, the deaf ears are open. All laid down on the foundation of prayer and intercession. Amen? Because whatever must happen in the natural realm must be birthed in the Spirit. Amen. We enforce it from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's give Jesus one more shout of praise. How many of you glad you came to church today? Yes. Praise God. You are released by the love of Jesus. If anybody needs prayer, please stay and come up to the front. We have our prayer team that will be here, including me, to pray with anybody. But you are now dismissed in the mighty name of Jesus. Go and eat your roast chicken. Go and eat your gumbo. Go and eat whatever it is that you feel is glorious. In Jesus' name, amen.